As you can see, the message we got today is titled, Why We? It's funny, last night I was sitting there kind of policing up my notes a little bit, and I'm talking to Laura, and she goes, okay, hey, listen, I'm going to get a jump on writing down what the sermon title is and the message in my notebook and get it ready for tomorrow. And in talking about that, I said, okay, here's the message title. It's called Why We? And when she spelled it out, she goes, why we dot, dot, dot. And see, as you can see here, I've got why we question mark. But I thought that the analogy that she came up with was pretty good. Why we dot, dot, dot. And it's something to think about here when we look at this and when we look at the verses, and we'll read them here shortly in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 14. I just want to kind of outline something for you real quick here as we think about why we dot, dot, dot versus why we question mark. So let's take a look at the word we for a second. If you were to go into Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it compares the word to I, our, us. When you look at I as a pronoun, it compares with me, mine, we. And so when you take a look at all this, you know, I've thrown out a bunch of words here. Really what it is looking at, are we putting ourselves first in our lives, in our Christian walk each and every day, or are we putting God first in our Christian walk every day? And so the picture here kind of has a simple message. And that's kind of a simple message that was John was writing in 1 John throughout his entire chapter or the entire book of John. And so when we look at the scripture today, it is talking about putting away worldly things. Really what goes on here is when our love is in the things of this world, then we are living in the world, which means we are living in sin. Really, that's what is when we're living worldly, we're living in sin. When we're living in sin, we are putting ourselves first. As we will read here in the scripture today, that means we don't have Christ first in our lives. So many of y'all have heard this before. Whenever I've taught a Bible study classes, whenever I've done the VBS, and I think I've even said it here, you know, I like to use the bottom line up front analogy. You know, in the military, we call it the bluff. So the bottom line up front analogy, and if there's anything that you were to get out of the message today, it would be just this one main point. As Christians, we can't be sitting on the fence with one foot in the world and one foot in heavenly things. We are either committed to ourselves or we are fully committed to God. It's time to stop straddling the fence and get our eyes focused upon God. And really, that's what it is in our Christian life, is we can't be sitting here, you know, like if I was on the steps here, as you see me standing here, you know, I've got one foot way down here and one foot down here, and I'm being drawn into things of this world and being pulled into things of this world, but I'm still trying to keep that foot and I'm trying to keep my eyes focused upon heavenly things. When that's going on in our lives, there's a struggle, and we're letting that spiritual battle within our lives continue to consume us and allow us to not keep our eyes focused upon God and keeping things put first and the things of God and not the things of this world. So let's go ahead and look at the scripture here. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And when you find your scripture, will you please stand as we read this today? 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And it says here, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this awesome opportunity to be able to come into your house today and spend some time in fellowship with you and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we just want to thank you for the music and the praise that we've just sang, that we've all sang through the praises and lifting up our voices to you, Lord, in fellowship. And Lord, we just want to thank you for this time of worship that we're entering into now, Lord. Lord, I just ask that I decrease and you increase, Lord. I just ask that your spirit be filled upon this place, Lord. And Lord, that if there is anybody here who does not have a close personal relationship with your son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that today would be the day that they come to know you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will continue to do, Lord. But most of all, we want to thank you for your son, Jesus, and for his death on the cross. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, as we look at 1 John here today, you kind of if you look through the five chapters that are actually written, there are three concepts that John is writing in the 1 John here, which ties together the entire book and is still relevant to us today. When you look at the scriptures here, there is a lot of relevancy to us today, and I'll point this out here just in a little bit. But first of all, when you look at chapters 1 and 2. John was aware of the continuing attack of false teachings. He then urged believers not to love and follow after the world because it was not of the Father and would ultimately pass away. Discernment is necessary to thwart the constant attacks of heresy, which you all can clearly see that we as Christians have to take on that discernment in all that we do each and every day of our lives, whether it's discernment with what we watch on TV, whether it's discernment with what news articles we read, whether it's discernment with who we're talking to, what we're reading. We have to take discernment into all that. Secondly, in chapters 3 and 4, he teaches about the love of God and through his love that he sent Jesus. Therefore, believers should love each other, not only in words, but also in deeds and truth, that is outlined in 1 John 3, verse 18, as Jesus commanded. Jesus commanded, what was the greatest commandment when all the disciples came to him and said, "Hey, Lord, we have all these rules and regulations," and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but we have these rules and regulations and commands that we must follow and all that. What is the greatest commandment? And the greatest commandment that Jesus told his disciple is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and love each other, or love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And that's what he is reemphasizing here in chapters 3 and 4. And then finally, John exhorts Christians to live by faith because through our faith in Christ, we can overcome the wickedness of the world. And I tell you, I know you all have heard Bro Ronnie talk about it numerous amounts of times, and anybody else that gets up here and is actually preaching out of Scripture, the world is trying to take over. It is. It's trying to take over in everything that we see, anything that you come in contact with daily, and I'll discuss that here a little bit later when I get into my points here. So here in the Scripture today, there are two things that are being pointed out and that we read, which you saw was evident in chapters 16 and 17, and that is lust and pride. But I believe the Scripture entails all aspects of things that keep us from having a real relationship with our Heavenly Father. When we have sin in our lives, we are not having that close, real, personal relationship that we should be having with our Heavenly Father. And that is keeping us, and that is what what keeps us from having that relationship, and that is what he is trying to outline in this chapter that we're going to discuss here in a little bit. As Christians, our Heavenly Father, and many of y'all must, and I know I'll probably get a few different answers, but in the Scriptures here, God, and in the Bible, God wants one thing from us as Christians, and what is that? Obedience. Obedience. To be obedient is to put away all the things of the world, and to be obedient, and if we are following God in obedience, we are living in a real and right relationship with our Heavenly Father. So, let's talk about a couple things that will be pointed out in the Scripture today that I felt like God was speaking to me. So, many of y'all know that a couple weeks ago, I had to like randomly take off and I wasn't here for Sunday service and I was gone for a few days. And I know many of y'all knew that I had to take off and head down to the Joint Readiness Training Center down in Louisiana while Laura was gone and all that. So, it had been literally about 20 years since I had been there. So I'm online and I'm trying to book my hotel and my car and my airline ticket and all that. And I was like, okay, last time I was here, most of us, we stayed on what they called North Fork Polk, Louisiana. And so Leesville is the town that's right beside Louisiana. And I book a hotel right around Leesville. And then I go down to Louisiana and I land in a town that's about 50 miles away called Alexandria, and that's where all the airplanes go in. And then I get in the car, I drive to Leesville, I check into my hotel, and while I'm there, I'm sitting there in the hotel, I finally get a hold of somebody that I need to talk to figure out what do I need to do or where do I need to go to try to sit down and talk to all the people that I needed to talk to the couple days I was there. Well, as I got there, I got the phone call. When I asked the question, they said, the person on the other end of the line goes, "Hey, sir, we're all sitting up here in Alexandria." And sure enough, if you know anything or ever been down to JRTC, that's about an hour drive. And I'm sitting here going, I do not want to mess with having to change or cancel my reservation at this hotel, make a new reservation up in Alexandria, and mess with all the money on the backside that the military is paying to allow me to stay down here. So while I was there, I had to do the hour drive all the way up to Alexandria and then the hour drive all the way back. I really felt like God, because I know Brother Ronnie had asked me when we were doing the art sale, "Hey, I'm going to be on vacation. Do you mind preaching for me on August 4th? I said, "Let me pray about it." And I got back with him and I said, "Yeah, I feel God has called me to preach on something and all that." But I was kind of like, I'm not sure what yet. And so as I'm driving back and forth, This thing called worldly, this thing called world kept on coming into my mind and stuff. And I was like, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me here? You know, hey, is it me? And, you know, because a lot of times when we're putting together these messages, a lot of times God is speaking to us just as much as it is the message that we're going to be delivering to you all and stuff. And so there was a couple things that he had spoke to me about. And I felt like I really wanted to talk to you about because a couple of years ago, I had talked to Brother Ronnie about the world, and we'll get to that here in my second point when we talk about it. But when I was, it was a couple of years ago when this was actually brought to my attention. And the thing is I kind of like put something together. I'd set it aside. I hadn't readdressed it. And I really feel like God was leading me to kind of talk about this today. So the first thing here we see, the first point in verse 15 is separated versus inseparable. If you take a look at verse 15 here, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So when you look at this and you look at separated versus inseparable, when we are living in sin, we are separated from the Father, just as I mentioned a few minutes ago. When we feel like God has left us, and this is a question I want you to think about. When we feel like God has left us, when we are at our lowest point in our lives, who actually moved? We did. It wasn't God. God is still the same God that was before time. God is still the same God today, and God will be the same God forever. Amen. And God's word says, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." So God hasn't left, because his word here, if we truly believe that this is the infallible word of God, his word here says, "I will not leave you and I will not forsake you," which is pointed out in Hebrews 13, verse 5. And it's also pointed out in Deuteronomy 31, 6. So with him saying that he will not leave us or forsake us, and we don't feel like we're connected with God, if we are living in sin, we are separated from God. So what do we need to do to become inseparable with our Heavenly Father? The first thing we need to do is we need to flee. Verse 15a here, there is a commandment that he gives us in verse 15a here where it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. That is a commandment. That is a commandment from God. Even though John was the one that was writing this book here, that is a commandment from God. It says, do not love the world or the things of this world. So 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that all call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Psalms 143, verse 9. And you know, just as we sang in the choir here, I will dance, I will pray like David did. This is what David was doing in Psalm. David in 139, verse 9 says, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. When we flee into our Father's arms, his arms are big enough to hold you close, comfort you, protect you, carry you from the things of this world. They are. But the thing is we have to flee towards him. We have to keep our eyes focused upon God. Because if we are not keeping our eyes focused upon God, if we are not fleeing from sin in our life from God, then we are not heading in the direction, we are not staying within God's will. We are not heading the direction towards our Heavenly Father. If we are to flee, then that means we are to turn. Just as I mentioned here, and the second point that I have under this is to turn. And in verse 15a, if we do not turn, then we do not have the love of the Father in us, as it says here, because it's just tied to the first part of the verse here where it says, do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we have to ensure that when we flee, we're not fleeing in the wrong direction. It was kind of just the same analogy that I brought up concerning having my foot down here in the stairs and having it on the top of the stairs. Number one, it causes imbalance in our life. You know, if you try to walk this way across the stairs, if we didn't have the pulpit here and you're trying to walk this way, it's going to be a little imbalanced. It's the same thing when we don't flee, when we don't turn towards our Heavenly Father. There's imbalance in our lives. And we have to make sure that we keep both feet on the solid ground. Both feet have to be moving together. They have to be heading in the right direction and in the same direction. When we flee, we turn. Stop looking back at the world and keep looking forward towards the Father. And when it's a turn, it's a complete turn. Many of you all have heard the analogy concerning, you know, the 180 degrees. The thing is if we are heading this way, and this is the way that sin is drawing us into and sin is in our lives and stuff like that. Unless we make that 180 degree turn and head out in the opposite direction, when we head in the opposite direction, we are going away from the things of this world. We are getting away from sin that is in our lives. We are causing a greater gap between those things that are keeping on drawing us towards this world, and we are making a closer gap to our Heavenly Father. Once we get there and all that, we're not going to get there until we have actually gone on to see the Lord and all that. But the thing is there's not going to be that complete and close gap. But the thing is there will be that gap that will keep us closer to being inseparable from our Heavenly Father. Remember what happened to Lot's wife? Many of you all know the example that was put in Genesis 19. The sin that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, God gave specific instructions to Lot and his family to move out, get out. He was getting ready to cause fire and destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah, to move out. But the thing is as they were moving out, he gave them also clear instructions, do not look back. And sure enough, as they're moving out, you know, looking at this gap thing again, as they're moving out, they're heading out, they're looking forward, Lot's wife turns around, and what happens? She turns into a pillar of salt. It's because she was keeping her eyes focused upon the worldly things that she was leaving behind. And when we turn, we need to keep our eyes focused upon the things that that our Heavenly Father is wanting us to do, to wanting us to have that close relationship with Him in our lives. The third point here concerning is love. If you look at 15b, again, as we go back into the scripture, it says the love of the Father is not in him. Do not let lust blind you, but let true love of the Father fill you. When we let love of the Father fill us, then this clearly is how we make ourselves flee and turn from the world. Sometimes we have a tendency to mistake lust for love. This lust doesn't have to be lust for just someone. It doesn't have to be the lust of just a particular person in our lives or something that we have on our life. It could be anything. It could be this cell phone. If we feel like we got to be tied to our cell phone all the time, and Laura's giving me a face right now, I'm going to point her out. She gave me a squishy face, and all that, because it's funny. We talk about cell phones all the time. Anyways, sorry, babe. Love you. Anyways, it could be the cell phone. It could be, for me, it could be the TV. It could be me wanting to just not spend time with my Heavenly Father. Any distraction that we have in our lives that keeps us from our Father keeps, it may be something that we have a tendency to want to lust or turn towards whenever we have, whenever we see ourselves, you know, in our lives. So it doesn't have to be just someone. It could be anything. It could be lust or desire for anything that we put first before God. True love is relationship. 1 John 4:16 says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. It gets back to the point that I was talking about a minute ago concerning we have to love one another. When we love one another, then God's love is perfecting in us. When we love one another here, and all that, God's love is perfecting in us. And when God's love is perfecting in us, and I'll bring this up here towards the latter part of the sermon and all that, then we start to strive. We start to thrive. We start to build the church the way the church had got, the way God had intended for the church. Is for us to be the body, he is the head. And when he is the head and we are the body and we are loving and we are perfecting that love amongst each other, then we are working as a unit, as the body. And then we will continue to grow. We will continue to become the church that God has called us to be. If our relationship is right with our Heavenly Father, it definitely will be right with others. Amen. How many of y'all believe that today? If our relationship is right with our Heavenly Father, our relationship is definitely going to be right with others. You can see it. And I know in my own life, when I have a tendency to be deployed or on a TDY trip or somewhere else and all that, sometimes we don't get an opportunity to be able to, and many of y'all can relate with this who have been in the military, you don't get an opportunity to spend as much time in fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you're gone, you know, you'll do chapel service if they have chapel service on your base, if you're not in a remote base or anything like that. But I know myself, I get grumpy. Many of y'all probably feel the same way. When you are not spending time in his word, when you are not spending time speaking to your Heavenly Father on a daily basis, then you have a tendency to get grumpy. Relationship is not right with our Heavenly Father because he tells us we should spend time daily with him. We need to spend time daily with him. And when we spend time daily with him, then our relationship gets right with him. When our relationship gets right with him, our relationship gets right with others, even our spouses. It does. So that leads into, so we talk about being separated versus inseparable in verse 15. And that leads into my second point here about conditional versus unconditional in verse 16. In verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. This gets right back up to my bottom line up front, as I brought up earlier when we first started the sermon today, about the thing is we can't be that fence sitter. We have to either be totally committed or we have to be, and we are either totally committed in God's will for us in our lives, or we're totally committed in the world and what the world's will is for us in our lives. And that's really what it kind of comes to. The world comes at us with conditions, and this is more relevant today, especially as Christians. You can see it all in the news, and you can see it all over things, because a lot of times when we're living right with our Heavenly Father, that's when we're probably being tested the most by this world. And the conditions and standards that are set for us by the world, you know, whenever they set the conditions and standards for us, usually that's when they're not bothering us. But I'll tell you right now, when you have your conditions and standards set upon God and the things that God has for you in your life, I'll tell you, you know what, the world is going to come at you. It is. And like I said, it is more relevant in the news today that those who are standing on what God's Word says and their faith and their belief in their Heavenly Father, that is who is being attacked in our news today. And you can see it very evident across the world today. It's even, as we've seen, where we've had missionaries here. It's evident in their field and what they're doing, because they're standing on what God has called them to do. God has called them to go. And because God has called them to go, they have gone. But they may be put in a hostile situation where they're at, where if they share the news of God out in the open, they are persecuted or they could potentially be killed. And the world is going to get to that someday with us. If we are here, the end times, it is written in the Bible. It says we are going to be persecuted. We are going to be called out, you know, for a stance that we take before God. And when that happens, we've got to be ready. We've got to be conditionally based ourselves in our unconditional Father. So I want to take a look here. The first point is called worldly. I want to take a look here when it says here in verse 16a, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." When you look at this right here, I've got a little analogy, and I told Brother Ronnie about this, and Laura's heard me talk about it too, and all that. I want to take a look at the word world here. So if you'll go on to the next, and they've already brought this up here. The slides look a little different. I promise you that the thing hasn't blacked out. The slide background is actually black. So go ahead and hit the button on world here. And I just want you to take a look at this as it continues to pop up here. We outwardly rebel the Lord's death. Think about this for a minute. When we are living in the world, we are living in sin. When we are living in sin and we're keeping our eyes focused on worldly things, we as Christians, and it doesn't matter if, because God knows what we do in the dark, and the darkness will be revealed to the light. It does. But it doesn't matter whether we are in the dark by ourselves or whether we are out. When we are living in sin, we as Christians are outwardly rebelling the Lord's death. So this kind of gets back to the message title that I had when we say, why we, ... even though I put a question mark here, in the dictionary examples that I gave to you, me, I, you know, they all correlate with we here. So when we look at this here, when you're living like this, when you're living in the world, you can see here we is on the top part of this. That means I'm putting myself first. But what happens if I decide to ask God for His repentance in my life? What happens if I decide to step down, you know, off of my holy throne of we, and then I actually put the Lord first in my life? Look at this. With those letters right there, because you can see the Lord's death is at the end of this, at the end of the world thing. So the Lord is towards the back part of the world, of the word world. But when I take myself out of the equation and I actually put God where He belongs, when I've wiped that W off of the worldly thing and take the other four letters, look, it spells Lord. Then that means we're putting Lord first in our lives, because that's how it should be. And that's why it's in capital letters all up here, is because we have made Lord first and priority in our lives. Go ahead and go to, we'll wait just a second. So, John 15, I want to get back to some of the conditions that the world brings to us about this. John 15, 19 says, if ye were of the world would love his own, But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world will hateth you. And that's why I was talking earlier concerning the conditions that the world tries to set on Christians, and how we will be persecuted when they set conditions and we are not living within those conditions and those standards that the world has for us. God comes to us, and that's the reason why I wanted to take a look at this, is God comes to us unconditionally. And God comes to us with unconditional love. This is evident when you look at Romans 5, verse 8. It says, but God commandeth his love towards us in that while ye were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. So if you do not have a close and personal relationship with the Heavenly Father and you do not proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's a simple message for you today. Christ died for you. Christ died for us, and his blood that was shed on the cross was shed for us. Even though we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you know, all of our sins have been washed whiter than snow. That gets back to the earlier points where I talked about how we need to flee sin and how we need to turn from sin, because when we flee from sin and turn from sin, yes, we are still human and things are still going to happen, and we are not perfect, and sin is still going to come into our lives and it's going to happen. And when sin comes into our lives, we have the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he is providing intercession for us each and every day. Each and every day, he is providing intercession for us when we have a close and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So God, as you can see, go on to my next point, please. God, you know, when we've already talked about the worldly part, and we've talked about compromise here. I want to bring up compromise. Usually what happens here, when things are condition-based for us, we come to God sometimes with conditions that suits for us. But I'll tell you, you know, God comes to us unconditionally. Amen. A lot of times when we're caught up in sin, we try to make compromises. How many times have you heard, and I'm not going to lie, I'll be the first one to tell you, and I raise my hand, I have done this before. Hey, God, get me out of this mess, and I promise I won't go back into this. You know, I hear a couple people chuckling, and I'm like, I've done it too. Hey, God, you know, hey, and what's even funnier is being a paratrooper sometimes. Hey, God, let me have a good jump. You know, I'm not going to say I'm not going to go back to this, but let me have a good jump this time. You know, but the thing is our God is uncompromising. He's uncompromising with his word. He's uncompromising with what he wants us to do, what he tells us to do in this word. He's uncompromising and unwavering with his love for us, and he's uncompromising and he's unconditional for how he loved you and how he loves me. Amen. So we shouldn't be coming to him with compromises. Lastly, unwavering. When it says it is not of the Father in 16b, it is not of the Father because Jesus went to the cross for you and me. This all gets back to sin. And sin is not of the Father. And God's stance on this is unwavering. It is. It is in the Scripture. It is clearly outlined up for us. Each and every word that is breathed into this word is unwavering. Even when Christ was on the cross, Christ was hanging there on the cross, and everything that he had went through prior to them putting the nails in his wrist and the nails in his feet, and him hanging on the cross for us, people spitting on him, people putting vinegar and water up to his mouth to give him a drink, people just mocking him and laughing at him, and even had the two thieves on each side. One was even mocking him and telling him, hey, if your God is the Father of you, have them come and get you off the cross and all that. God hung on that cross for you, and he hung on that cross for me. Even through all of that, He said, Father, forgive them. And he is even telling you today, Father, forgive them. You can't tell me that that is not an unwavering God. For our Heavenly Father to sit there, for Jesus Christ to sit there and say, Father, forgive them. That just goes to show how unconditional His love is for us. The last point I want to talk about here, so we've talked about separated versus inseparable in verse 15. We've talked about conditional versus unconditional. In verse 16, the last thing here is lasting versus everlasting. If you look at verse 17 here, lasting versus everlasting. Verse 17 says, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of the Father abides forever. So my first point here is concerning passing. Verse 17a, it says, the passing, is this world is going to pass. This world is going to pass. The lusts of this world are going to pass. The nature of this world will go away. This life that we're living, this life that you are living, is going to pass, eventually pass. Nothing is on this world lasting. But I will tell you that my God, my Heavenly Father, is everlasting. And He always will be. And because of His passing, we have to understand that we are only here for a short time. The world is not eternal or everlasting. It's even outlined in Revelation where it says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. That just goes to show that my God is everlasting and that this world will pass. It is written. It is written here, clearly. You know, as Brother Ronnie has said, I think I've said it before, we know what happens in the end of the book. You know what I mean? And if you read Revelations, and you will see what's going to happen. And it says a new heaven and a new earth will be made by our Heavenly Father. So you can't tell me that this is just a brief thing that's going to happen, or that's not going to happen. This is a brief thing. This life is a brief thing. Analogy I heard my father tell me one time, and I've heard him use it in preaching one time, is he said, if you want to take a look at how long forever is, you take a still ball that's about the size of the earth. When you take that still ball and you hang it in the heavens, about every 10,000 years, there's an eagle that comes by and kind of hits that ball, that still ball, and nicks that ball. Every 10,000 years, when that ball is nicked, that's when eternity has begun. So you can't tell me that, you know, I've never met a gentleman that's 10,000 years old. You know what I mean? There's a lot of scientists out there that try to prove, you know, that these people are 10,000 years old and all that through carbon dating and all that. But the thing is they're still dead. You know what? My God's still alive. Amen. You know what I mean? And we one day will meet our Heavenly Father. Permanent. In 17b here, it says, the nature of the will of God always lasts. There is everlasting life in Jesus. Synonyms for permanent, when used as an adjective, is ceasing, dateless, deathless, endless, eternal, everlasting, immortal, perpetual, undying, and unending. And you know what? My God is permanent. When I look at these synonyms, these synonyms right here, and all that, that just shows me that my God is permanent. Last point here is promise. God tells us, you know, so he starts out in chapter 15, he starts out with an instruction. He tells us what we need to do. But he also gives us a promise when we look at the end of 17 here. It says, but he who does the will of the Father, or the will of God, abides forever. God tells us that we will abide in him forever. When we accept Christ, he is inseparable, he's unconditional, and everlasting promise is what he gives us here today, and it is what he gives us throughout this entire Bible, and what he tells us throughout this entire Bible. When you accept Christ, he is inseparable. He is unconditional. He is everlasting. And it shows, and he shows us this in John 10, verses 28 through 30, where it says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, and I and the Father are one. Jesus is talking about how, here in John, he's talking about how him and his Father are one. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are in relationship with Jesus Christ and all that. We are one as Christians. We are. And nobody, nothing, when you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, nothing can snatch you out of his hand. Amen. It kind of talks about what I talked about concerning his arms. His arms are big enough to do a lot of things for us. The thing is it's got to be that first simple step, especially if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ today. It's that first simple step of coming down and talking to Brother Ronnie, or talking to one of the deacons when we get into the invitation, or talking to your buddy and say, hey, come down here, and asking God to forgive you, asking God to forgive you as a sinner, and know that you are not in right relationship with your Heavenly Father. And know that you want to have that relationship with your Heavenly Father. That's what you have to do. It's just simple. It is simple. And the thing is once that prayer, and once the Holy Spirit fills you and all that, you're going to want to flee. You're going to want to turn. You're going to want to run and tell everybody the good news. Amen. That Jesus Christ did for you today. And when he tells you, when you tell other people that, it's only going to want to draw people closer to you. Because the thing is when you get into the right relationship with your Heavenly Father, then you get into the right relationship with those that are sitting on your left and your right and those that are here today. And then we are going to be that light. We are going to be that beacon. We are going to be those, especially in this dark world. And there was a reason why I used the black background with the white letters on there. Because the thing is the world is dark. The world will pass. But the thing is I know that my God, to me, will always last. And we got to show each and every person that we come in contact with daily that love, because it's God's love that draws people closer to them, or closer to him. It's God's love that draws us closer to each other. It's God's love that allows us as the body to continue to move, to continue to grow, to continue to live within God's will in our lives. And so that is the will of God. That is the promise. Romans 8:39 says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No height, no depth, no other creature shall be able to separate us. That is a promise. That is a promise that is put there in Romans. That is a promise that is spelled out throughout this entire book. That is a promise that God gives you today. But you have to accept. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You do. Amen. You do. Us as a church, and this is the last thing I want to talk about real quick and bring up before we get into the invitation. So, Christian, I've already talked a little bit about if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your life, the separation that's between you and him. So I'm kind of speaking to us today, because as a church and us as Christians, so where do you think you are at in your Christian walk today? You do not have a Christian walk with Jesus if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't. So it's simple, and I just outlined what you need to do. But us as Christians that are here today, so where do you think you are at in your Christian walk today? And let me just take this one step further. Church, where do you think we are at as a church? So I was on Facebook a couple days ago, and I've got a good buddy of mine that I've known for a few years some things on Facebook, kind of like a little devotion type things. And I read this and I said, amen, brother. I may be able to use this in my sermon, this week. And then we got off on a discussion, and it looks like we're both going to be retiring out of the military about the same time and all that. But, you know, he's a great guy, great man of God. And I love him just as much as I love you all. And talking to him, and I've had the opportunity to serve with him in two different duty stations. But he had posted this the other day, and I want you to think about this as we get ready to head into our invitation here. CPR. So those of y'all who are in the medical field know that if you're conducting CPR on somebody, that means they are probably not breathing and are heading towards death. If they cannot start to begin to breathe and stuff like that. So if you've had any instruction on CPR, you know, CPR is one of those things that's used to bring people back to life. CPR is being performed on the church right now. It is. It's evident because you can see there's a lot of world in a lot of churches today. And the thing is we've got to get that world out of the world out of the church, and we and God is trying to perform CPR on those churches that are more worldly than they are godly and godlike in their walk. Because when Christians pursue repentance, take a look at CPR from that perspective. CPR is being performed on the church right now because when Christians pursue repentance, we begin to see Christ producing revival. Amen. As we feel the hand of God jumpstarting the heart of church, be encouraged in knowing that the breath of God is coming and the breath brings forth life. Ezekiel 37, 9 through 10 and 14 and John 6:63. The breath brings forth life. Kind of like the analogy that I talked about and all that, you know, concerning CPR and when we're conducting CPR, you know, you're trying to bring somebody back to life. God is conducting that on the church today. God may be conducting that on your life right now and all that. And God may be speaking to you. God may be speaking to you, just as I mentioned earlier, to come on up here and all that. And you're going to pray that simple prayer. And all that, and you're gonna turn your life around, and you're gonna start living for Jesus because you don't have a close and personal relationship with Him. God may be performing CPR on your life because He's calling you back to repentance. He may be calling this church back to repentance. You can stay upon Him and His will for us in our lives. I don't know your heart today; only God knows your heart. But if you feel like you need to come down here, I'm going to ask Brother Ronnie here in a second to come up and stand up here. The deacons will be standing off to the side. If you want somebody to come up and pray for you, if you just want to come up here to pray and you feel led to come pray with somebody and ask for repentance in your life or to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. I don't know your heart, but God does. All He is doing is telling you to come. And when we, as a church, start to put God first, I tell you, you know, there's going to be amazing work that's going to happen in this church. And revival, you know, I know Brother Ronnie has mentioned it before. It only takes one spark to get that fire burning. And maybe you might be the spark today. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know your heart. God knows your heart. And all that. But if you need to come, feel led to come. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just thank You for this awesome opportunity to be able to come into Your house today, Lord. Lord, as I mentioned, I don't know the heart of anybody here but my own. And somebody may be seeking You to be Lord of their life. I don't know, Lord. But Lord, work in them, work through them. And Lord, I know if they're being attuned and listening to what it is that You would have and what You are saying to them, Lord, they'll be feel led to come. The Spirit will draw them because the Spirit is the only one that can draw them to You, Lord. Lord, maybe there's just somebody here today that needs to come up and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for what has gone on in my life. And Lord, I just ask for repentance. I don't know. Lord, if they're just being attuned to You and attuned to what it is that You're having to say to them, Lord, the Spirit will lead and they will follow. Lord, whatever it is that you would have us to do today, Lord, just let us be attuned to what it is that you're telling us to do, Lord. And Lord, let us not quench the Spirit. Lord, let us just continue in this spirit of prayer and this spirit of praise as we go into this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.